Well, today we're going to be talking about what's next. What's next? Last week was, we celebrated Resurrection Sunday. Woohoo, right? We had breakfast church. We celebrated the Lord rising from the dead, right? Coming back to life. And a lot of questions people ask are, well, what's next? What do you do after Resurrection Sunday? Like, what's the next thing? Like, where do we go from here? What's the next steps, you know? And so what we're going to be talking about these next 4 weeks here in April, we're going to be talking about what's next. What's next? Excuse me. Four places on the road of discipleship. If you call the name of the Lord, if you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, there's four places on the path of discipleship that you're going to go on. And on these four paths, you're going to be on these four paths again and again and again of your life. And it's not a negative thing. It's just as a disciple of Jesus, there's four paths, which we're going to look at the disciples' life of where they were at. And so let me ask you this. Let me start off with this question. I like a good question. Have you ever encountered something that caused you to be perplexed about what to do next? Have you ever encountered something in your life that caused you? Oh, yeah, everybody's hands going up, right? Right, yep, right. Have you ever been there? Right? Kids, youth, you know, we've all been there. I mean, you know, you found out, maybe you found out you had a rich uncle and he left you a fortune. What's next? What do you do? Yeah, many of us are like, please, Lord, please let that be the perplexed situation, right? Maybe you tried a new skill or a job and you realize, whoa, I'm really talented at this new vocation or trade, but what's next? What's the next steps for you? Maybe you have an idea to start a business or a nonprofit or something. You're like, well, what's the next steps? What's next? Maybe you feel like God's asking you to go into vocational ministry. Well, what's the next step? Or maybe you want to grow deeper in your walk with Jesus. Well, what's the next step? What are the next things I've got to do as a disciple of Jesus to grow deeper? And so forth and so on. So last week, as we said, was Jesus' resurrection. We ended it with this verse. It'll be here on your screen. We ended it with Matthew 28:16-20, right? It's the Great Commission. Jesus, right, has came out of the tomb. There's been earthquakes, lightning, darkness. I mean, dead people coming back to life. I mean, amazing. And Jesus ends this. He tells the disciples, he says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain to which Jesus had directed them. And when they saw him, they worshiped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and he said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Woo! Can you feel the excitement building there? I mean, the disciples are probably, you know, chest bumping, high-fiving, man, this is going to be great. Jesus is back. I mean, YOLO, he's back from the dead. I mean, it's awesome. And then what happened? What happens? Let's look at Luke 24 here. Luke the apostle, he tells us this. He says, from his different account there, he says, and behold, this is Jesus. He says, Jesus is telling the disciples here. He says, behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. Jesus is telling the disciples, hey, I'm going to fill you. All authority has been given to me. It's to you. You're going to go out and make disciples. You're going to heal people. Man, it's going to be great. Go. You get ready. But hey, I want you to go wait. He raises them up and he says, hey, go wait. Wait, what? Wait a minute. Wait. We got to wait? Jesus just gave him the great commission. Here's what you're going to do. But then he says, hey, hold the phone. Hold on. Hold tight. Why don't you go sit down for a little bit and then I'll give you further instructions. I'm going to send the Spirit. I don't know about you, but I'd be like, wait, I'd be scratching my head. Wait a minute. What do you mean I have to wait, Jesus? I mean, you just pumped us up. You came back from the dead. I mean, this is going to be great. But now you said to go wait? Like, what is that about? Aren't we? We're your disciples. You said you've empowered us. You've given us the power to go out and do things. Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to the Father, but he tells them to go wait. He says for a few days. Well, how long is a few days? I mean, a few days to me, to you? I mean, why do we have to wait? Where are we going to wait? What are we going to do while we're waiting? Would you be asking these questions? I would be if I was a disciple. Like, Jesus, we need some more directions, right? And so Jesus is getting ready to ascend back to the Father. And some of us at this point would be like, okay, Jesus, that's a great idea. Let's wait. Let's strategize. Let's make a master plan. Get it on the calendar. Who's going to what cities, right? Some of us would be the extroverts. Let's go. Let's go. We're going to go and get out there and not make a plan. But Jesus says to go wait. And here's the four places I want to talk to you about in these next coming weeks. About there's four places that on the road of discipleship we're going to have to travel on it as a disciple. We're going to travel down the road of waiting. We're going to travel down the road of praying. You're going to travel down the road of going, and you're going to travel down the road of telling others about Jesus because we are Christ's ambassadors. But we're going to look at Acts in these next 4 weeks and see that the disciples went down these four paths again and again and again. Not because there was something was wrong, but it's a part of the spiritual disciplines. It's a part of the spiritual conditioning of our body, mind, and soul that the Lord has shown us. There's a purpose in each one of these roads that we're going to go down of waiting, praying, going, and telling. Now, some of these are more fun than the others, right? I mean, going places, that's fun. Telling people about Jesus, it might be a little terrifying, but that seems more enjoyable. But waiting, who likes to wait? Raise your hand. Yep, that's what I thought. No one raised their hand. No one likes waiting, right? I was at the DMV last week. Yeah, I had to wait in line. Good process, but I had to wait. I wasn't happy about that. But no one likes waiting. However, the Lord told his disciples, he said, hey, hold the phone, go sit down and wait. I want you to wait. That seems counterintuitive, but he said we have to wait and we have to trust him. We have to know that waiting has a specific purpose. And each one of these things, here's the purpose I want to submit to you. The overall purpose of all these is three things. Is that it's designed to help us trust and know Jesus more. It's to make us holy. And finally, it's to teach us how to be his ambassadors to all the nations. These four roads we're going to go down and we're going to look at these next 4 weeks are really designed to make us holy, to make us know Jesus, and make us his ambassadors, to make us his fearless ambassadors for him out in the world. So let's jump into our main text here. So turn with me to Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, and we're going to look at this wait. Why were the disciples waiting, and what is the implication for us in your spiritual journey to know Christ more and to grow as a disciple of him? Why do we have to wait sometimes in life? And so it says here, Acts chapter 1, verses 1 through 12, I'm reading from the ESV translation. It says, in the first book, O Theophilus, I have dealt with all that Jesus began to do and to teach until the day when he was taken up, after he had given commands through the Holy Spirit to the apostles whom he had chosen. He presented himself alive to them after his suffering by many proofs, appearing to them during 40 days and speaking about the kingdom of God. And while staying with them, he ordered them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he had said, You heard from me, for John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit many days from now. So when they had come together, they asked him, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom to Israel? He said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons that the Father has fixed by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And when he had said these things, as they were looking on, he was lifted up, and a cloud took him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white robes, and he said, men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus who was taken up from you into heaven will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Then they returned to Jerusalem, and the mount, which is called Olivet, which is near Jerusalem, a Sabbath day journey away. Let's pray, church. Let's pray. Father, in these next few moments, we ask for you to quicken your word to our heart, mind, and soul. We ask that, God, you would illuminate and speak through your word. May not be my words, but may your words. And may you all encourage us to wait on you, to wait on your word, to wait on your reply, to trust that you are moving and that you're faithful, even when we can't see it, that Jesus, you are moving and active in our lives. And it's in your strong name we pray. Amen. And amen. Man, as we read this encounter, can you feel the amazement and the power in this encounter? Jesus is saying, you're going to have all the power. I'm going to baptize you. You're going to do all these things. And you can feel the crescendo of the story. And then all of a sudden, Jesus floats up into the clouds and is gone. The angels stand behind the gap and next to the disciples. And they say, hey, why are you looking in the sky? Can you see it? Can you see some of the ironicness of this? Jesus goes up and they're standing there like, where is Jesus? And the angels say, hey, you need to get back to Jerusalem and wait. Seems a little bit climactic. Kind of seems like, wait a minute. Jesus, you gave us all this power. You go up. Now you're gone. The angels say, go back and wait. But why? In the disciples' eye, this could have seen as an uneventful experience. Like, what is the meaning behind this? And what is the purpose in the waiting? A few things. Look at the scripture here. A few things here in this verse that we see. Jesus reminds us to be patient, that he's going to give us a gift, and that his timing is not our timing, if we can boil it down, that his timing is not our timing. And so let's look at a few things here. What is the purpose of you and I waiting? If you're a disciple here today, why do we have to wait? I've got five quick things I want to share with you from this passage about why do we have to wait? And so they'll be here on your screen. The first is this: waiting develops our inner man. How many of you know sometimes when we were told something, somebody gives us instructions, and we just run with it without thinking? What has happened before? We usually sometimes we mess it up. We see the Apostle Peter. How many times did the Apostle Peter step out ahead of Jesus, and Jesus had to rein him back and say, "Hey, Peter, no, hold on, buddy. You didn't give a lot of thought to that." Waiting develops our inner man. Look, Psalms 27:14, here on your screen, it says, "Wait for the Lord, be strong, let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord." When we wait, it causes us to look inwardly, to slow down, and it makes us evaluate, do I trust and rely on God and his timing, or do I trust in my timing, in my power, in my might? And Jesus, in this, in his foreknowledge, in his wisdom that's so good and great, he knew the disciples needed maybe some time to process and to think. What did Jesus mean? What did he mean? They needed to prepare themselves, to prepare their inner man, their inner life, as you would say. Psalms 127:1 reminds us, it says, "Unless the Lord builds the house, those who build it labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the watchman stays awake in vain." The Lord was going to give his power to the disciples, to you and I today. But the Lord knew the disciples needed to wait, and so they could process and make sure they relied on him and not go out on their own power and might. We all know the story, right? We know the first century Jewish culture wanted to overthrow Rome, wanted to overthrow the Gentile nations. The disciples might have thought, well, hey, we're going to get power to go slay Rome, to go slay all the enemies of Israel. Well, that's not what the power was going to be used for. And so Jesus wanted the disciples to wait and make sure that their heart and their inner life was relying on him alone. But for you and I, when we wait on the Lord, it gives us time to develop our inner man and make sure, Lord, to say, you know, make sure, Lord, I really do trust in you and your timing, and I'm not going to get ahead of you, but I'm going to wait on you. Secondly is this, waiting develops our endurance. So think about this. Scripture says, Luke says that Jesus was there for 40 days. He showed himself 40 days to the people. The celebration of Pentecost Sunday, the giving of the Holy Spirit, came at 50 days after Passover. So the Passover happened. Jesus was crucified, came back to life. He showed himself for 40 days. And so there was about a 10-day window here the disciples had to wait. So once again, the disciples were not waiting months on end, years on end. They had to wait. Jesus said, yet you're going to wait a few days. So that few days can vary from 8 days to 11 days. They had to wait. All right, they had to wait. But in this waiting, it allowed them to build endurance. Hebrews 6:15 says, "And thus Abraham, having patiently waited, attained the promise." How many of you like to wait patiently? How many of you can wait a day for something, 2 days, 3 days? Yeah, some of us are like, no, right? Right? It's the human condition, right? We want it now. I mean, we want things now. We don't like to wait, right? I mean, think if you had to wait for something for a day. We could probably all do that in this room. What about 2 days? What about 3 days? What about 7 years, 14 years, right? We'd be like, oh, forget this, right? The disciples had to wait 7 to 10 days. They had to wait, but what was going on during that time? We don't have any collection or anything in Scripture about what they were doing other than they were praying, and we'll be talking about that next week, about praying and the waiting. But they had to build their endurance, and waiting develops our endurance. Think about this with Abraham, as you see on your screen here. Abraham waited patiently. No shortcuts, no fixes, no in his own time. He had to wait to obtain the promise that the Lord had given him. The waiting is the process in our life of sanctification. The waiting develops endurance in our life. How many of you have been thankful for a waiting time in your life? In retrospect, yeah, Kathy, yeah. In retrospect, when we look back in our lives, a waiting period actually builds endurance, and it builds a time of trusting in the Lord in our life. It makes us realize that whatever we're about to attain is so much more sweeter by waiting in the Lord's time and in the Lord's provision than trying to force it on our own, in our own time, our own way. But the waiting process is sanctification. That's the process of us becoming more and more like Christ. And during times of waiting, times of endurance, we have the option to become more like Christ, or we have the option to become complaining, whiny kids. Have you ever had a kid that complained about a birthday present or Christmas? They could not wait to get the gift, and they complained, they whined, and, you know, threw a fit. And I don't know about your parents, but as a parent, sometimes you're like, no, I don't want to give you that present anymore, you know? But when you have a child or someone that patiently waits for something, boy, you're so inclined to be like, you know what, I want to give you more because you've been so patiently enduring, waiting for that gift. And in that time of waiting for us, it builds our endurance to patiently to patiently wait on the Lord and to trust in him and not become complaining, oh, Lord, why are you waiting? Why are you delaying? But to say, Lord, I trust you. And during this, I'm going to endure. I'm going to build that endurance in my life. Thirdly is this, what does the waiting do? The waiting creates expectation. Expectation. Think about those 8 to 11 days the disciples were waiting, praying together. I mean, what were they expecting to happen? What were they anticipating? Romans 8, 20 through 25 reminds us, it says Paul writing, he says to the young church of Rome, he says, and not only creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for our adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes in for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Waiting creates expectation. The disciples were eagerly expecting something. Now think about this. We see in Scripture, we don't see the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was given out. We don't see the disciples sitting down, not praying, having a hissy fit, complaining, you know, cursing the Lord. Why'd you make us wait? What do we see them do? They were eagerly expecting and praying. They were rejoicing, singing together, meeting together, having food, going over the Scriptures, talking about Jesus and anticipating his empowerment of the Scriptures. I mean, the Spirit in life, excuse me. But I want to ask this today. In your waiting, what expectation is growing in you today? Whatever you're waiting for in your life, you're waiting for a physical healing, you're waiting for a relationship to be renewed, you're waiting for God to, you know, give you that job advancement, whatever you're waiting for today, what expectation is growing within you? Are you eagerly expecting God to do more than you can think or imagine while you wait? Or are you sitting here and you're waiting, complaining, begrudging God and saying, God, you're not faithful, I can't believe this, I could do it better? Or are you faithfully saying, God, I trust you. I'm going to wait with endurance. I'm going to wait with expectation. No matter the way, if it's one day, 2 days, a year, a month, that whatever's coming, it's going to be better than I can think or imagine. As Paul writes to us, to him who is able to do more than we think or imagine. Do you wait with expectation in the waiting? As in the road of as being a disciple, do you wait with expectation knowing that, Lord, today I'm here, but tomorrow you're gonna renew me and redeem me. You're gonna help me take one step closer to being more like you. Do you wait with expectation of growing in Christ? The next thing is this. Point number 4 is this. Waiting allows us to make things right. Waiting allows us to make things right. 2 Peter 3:9 says this. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. On the road of waiting in the life of the disciple, waiting allows us to make things right. How many of you have been thankful for the Lord to give you time to get your act together? Can we put it there, right? As a parent, how many told you, yep, you know, get your act together, right? And a lot of times as parents, as good parents, the Scripture says we wait on our child to repent, get things right, do the right thing, pick up their room, do their homework, so forth and so on. But God, our Father, is the same with us. He doesn't want none to perish. But he gives us time in the waiting to make things right. And this verse right here, as Peter writes to the young church, he reminds us that the Lord is not in a hurry, but he's not slow. It's a complete contradictory in our minds. But the Lord, we know, is outside of time and outside of physics and all that. But the Lord wants none to perish. And as we wait, it gives us time to make things right. And I want to encourage you as disciples, whatever you're waiting on, whatever season God's got you in, you may feel that season is going so slow in your life. I would encourage you to take time to do some inner life searching. Lord, as King David said, Lord, search my heart. See if there's anything wicked in me. See if there's anything that's not honoring you. And it doesn't have to necessarily be pure, you know, it's sinful. It could be, you know, Lord, I could be a better steward of my time, my health, my finances, serving someone, or maybe I could be better about, you know, holding my tongue and not, you know, lashing out at somebody. Whatever it is, the Lord gives us time to repent and come to him so that he can develop our character and develop our witness. But waiting allows us to make things right. Think about this. The Lord can do more in a minute than we can do in a decade. The Lord can do something more in 5 minutes than we can do in a lifetime of us toiling and working hard. So trust him in that. In Matthew 28:17, we read in the beginning here, it says, if you look over at Matthew 28:17, it says that some doubted. This is, remember, the disciples came and saw Jesus, and it says that some of the disciples, this is where the 11, it says some doubted. Now here's what's interesting. Scripture says some doubted, but then Jesus told all the 11, hey, go and wait for me. Now, Jesus didn't say, hey, for those that believe me, you're going to go back to Jerusalem, wait for me, I'm going to fill you. For those that doubted, sorry, I wipe my hands of you, tough luck, get out of my way. What did Jesus do? He gave them time to make things right. Because we're going to read next week, we're going to see where Peter, it says Peter stood up with the 11, with all the brothers. So when we wait in the Lord, a time of waiting allows us to make things right. It allows those that maybe, as we would say, maybe weaker in the faith, gives them time to build their faith, to come along. And it gives us time to reach out to those maybe that are doubting and struggling. As James says, reach out to those who doubt, snatch them from the fire, but do it with gentleness and respect. Waiting allows ourselves and allows us to help pull others from the fire and allows others to come and encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. Lastly is this, what does waiting do? What's the purpose of waiting in the life of a disciple? Waiting welcomes our future reward. Look at James 5:7 here. It's here on your screen. It says, be patient. This is James, the Lord's half-brother. He says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth. Be impatient about it until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Amen. Waiting welcomes our future reward. Now, I hope you've heard in all these scripture, there's been one word that's been going through all these. It's the word waiting and the word patience. Have you heard that word patience in all these scriptures? Or a form of that patience? Waiting requires patience on our part. And it is hard. It is hard. I especially think in our modern world, especially in our American ethos, which is good in the sense, Americans, we believe, hey, we can get it done. Man, if there's a problem, we're going to make it happen. We're going to get it done. That's great. The Lord can use that. However, there can be a pride on the backside of that that thinks we can do it in our own time. We can advance the timeline of the Lord. But in all these scriptures today, we have to remember, we have to wait, church. We are still waiting for the redemption of our bodies. We're still waiting to see Jesus. He's coming back, as the angel said. As he went up in the clouds, he's coming back. That's not a metaphor. It's not some type of like ancient hyperbole or ancient Greek literature form. No, Jesus is coming back on the clouds. We're going to see him. All will see him. He's coming back, but we have to wait for this. And look at this scripture. It's very interesting here, in this here, that James talks about farmers. Farmers welcome the wait. Now, some of them do it more peacefully and gently. Some of them complain all the way until they get the rains. We got some farmers in the room who are grown up on farms. We know a lot of farmers, right? I mean, there's those two. Right? There's some farmers I meet, man, they're just sweet and gentle. They're like, oh, it's going to come. I love those old farmers that just, man, I love those ones that know Jesus and have seen him faithfully provide the rain. They're like, we're going to sit back and relax. It's all good. Then there's some that are just, complaining and just sad and mean and they're like, it's never going to rain and just so pessimistic. But scripture uses this analogy of farmers to remind us. So we have to welcome the wait in our life. Right? We don't like the wait, but we have to welcome the wait just like the farmers do. And it's this, they know what is to come. And the farmers know what is to come only comes through the waiting of the rains. And in our life as disciples, we can't force we can't microwave our discipleship. We can't microwave the wait. We have to wait and let the Spirit pour into us day by day. Be renewed. And we have to wait and say, Lord, and today, give me the bread for today as I wait patiently, as I rely on you. Lord, I wait on you. Surely I'll wait on you. And I'll be satisfied by your word and your presence. We have to wait and welcome the daily rains or the rains that are going to come. Farmers find joy in the waiting. Most of them do. We'll caveat that. But for you and I today, we need to find joy in the waiting, knowing that this scripture right here is telling us the Lord is coming back for us. Now, some of us want that to come now. Some of us, we want it later. We want to see our grandkids or grow up and go and do the things that God's called us to do. But church, in the waiting, we have to have eager expectation that the Lord is coming. And that in the waiting, our joy is to labor two things. We need to labor faithfully to Jesus, and we need to labor truthfully before him all of our days in the waiting. We need to be faithfully laboring to him and be truthfully before him all of our days. We need to welcome the wait in our lives. Now like I said, it's hard for us to do that, but if we wait, we know that there's blessings that come. Our inner life is going to be developed. We're going to build an endurance mindset. We know whatever comes against us, we are more than conquerors. And if God be for us, who can be against us? That builds that endurance mindset, that grit mindset, where we're not victims, where we're not, oh, we're just coming over again, oh, woe is us. No, we're going to have hardships, but we know if the Lord is for us, who can be against us? Jesus said, take heart, for I have overcome the world. That builds that endurance in us. And as we wait, we know that the promise of the Spirit will meet us. What's interesting in this first narrative of Acts, Jesus didn't say, hey, go wait, I'm going to give you the Spirit, and the disciples never received that. right? We know they waited a few days, and what happened? Jesus was a man of his word. He blessed them with the Spirit, and guess what? You and I today are the downlines, the benefactors of the Spirit being given at Pentecost. You and I today have the Holy Spirit living inside of us, renewing our minds, guiding us, correcting us, teaching us, convicting us, but also reassuring us, giving us the hope that we have a promise, a future that's coming, the Lord is coming. We get to benefit from that. Now the disciples, they had to wait, but they saw the rewards of their waiting. And today we sang that song today, and here in Psalms 130, it's going to be here on your screen, about waiting. And I'm going to read it here again for us. It says, "Out of the depths I cry to you, O Lord. O Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my pleas for mercy. If you, O Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits, and in his word I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman in the morning, more than the watchman in the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is steadfast love, and with him is plentiful redemption. And he will redeem Israel from all his iniquities." Amen. Do you hear the hope in that, church, in the wait? There's a promise in that psalm in the waiting. There's a promise. There's a promise there. And in our waiting, if I can convey to you today, and in your waiting, don't lose hope, don't lose focus of the promise. That in the waiting, the Lord gives us time to repent, to know him, to draw closer to him, to work on our inner life, our character. It gives us time to work on our outer character, our endurance, of having a grit mindset and trusting the Lord is faithful. The only way I would submit to you today, the only way to grow mentally, physically, spiritually, relationally, is only in waiting. And it's only through the person of Jesus that can we wait truthfully and that it has any meaning and value on the other side of the waiting. It's only through him. This psalm reminds us that the Lord is the one who is always watching, and that the Lord is waiting for us to respond. In all these psalms, all these verses today, it's a dual waiting. It's not for us just to sit and wait, but the Lord is waiting for us to engage him. The Lord is waiting for us to come to him. And if you're here today and you don't know Jesus, today is your day to come and know Christ. He's waiting for you. He's waiting for you to engage him. The blessings that follow the times of waiting, like as I said, are only realized in Jesus. Waiting has no purpose if it has no one to fulfill the waiting. And we know Jesus is the only one that can fulfill the waiting of our lives, or those things that we pray to him about, we petition him about. And so here's the two things I want to end. Here's my question for us to end on. Two questions. Where do you need Jesus to meet you in your time of waiting today? Where do you need Jesus to meet you? We all have different things we're waiting on right now. We all have different things. And some of them are, you know, some of them are higher priority. Some of the things are minor things in our life. But where do you need Jesus to meet you in your time of waiting today? What are you waiting on? What are you calling on the Lord to do? What are you petitioning him for? I need a job. I need a physical healing. I need to get over this habit, or I just need direction. I've got some opportunities before me. I don't know which way to go. Like, Lord, what do I do? Where do you need him to meet you at today? Ask him specifically. As we said earlier, in 1 Peter it says, "Cast all your cares on him, for he cares for you." Philippians 4:6, "Do not be anxious about anything, but with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, make your requests to God." Present your requests to God. "And the God of peace, who transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord." Petition him, ask him to come meet you wherever you need in this time of waiting in your life. And then secondly, do you need to encounter the Lord who is with us in the waiting today? Maybe you don't know Jesus at all here today, and you need to encounter him today. Because if you wait with no hope of someone to deliver on the waiting, it's futile. I know a lot of people that are waiting for America to save them. I know a lot of people that are waiting for the stock market to get better. I know a lot of people that are waiting for this and that. And church, there's no hope in any of that. There's no hope in any of that. Not knocking our system or government, love our country, but there's no hope in the government. There's no hope in any of this stuff. There's only hope in the one who is waiting on us to come to him. Right? And so today, if you don't know Christ today, I'd encourage you, make today your day of salvation. Go meet the Lord. If you don't know him today, I want you to come up afterwards and talk with me. I will talk to you and talk to you about what does it mean to follow Christ. What does that look like today? Because Christ wants to be with you in the waiting. We all know that there's long nights of the soul. St. John of the Cross was an ancient disciple, talked about the nights of the soul, the dark night of the soul. There's times of waiting that get hard and they're long. But with Christ, there's a light, there's a hope and a future. There's a reward, as it said, as the farmers wait for the crops to grow and the rains come, there's a reward on the other side of the waiting, but it only is found in Christ. You've got to have Christ to fully take hold of that reward of those crops that are going to come in our life to come to fruition. So with that, let's pray, church. And let's ask him to meet us today, to help us to wait patiently on this road of discipleship. Lord, we come before you today. And God, we ask that you would guide us on this road of discipleship as we patiently wait for the things you do in our life. Whether it's a day, a week, a month, or years, God, we ask that you would give us endurance, that you would develop our inner life, that God, you would help us wait with eager expectation of what you're going to do. God, I pray that, God, we would look forward to the future reward of seeing you, that we would wait eagerly and patiently to see you one day, Jesus, when you return. God, I pray today for the one that may not know you. God, I pray that they would put their whole heart and trust in you today. God, I pray for our friends that we've been praying for them to meet you. God, I pray that today would be their day of salvation, that they would approach you, because God, you've been faithfully waiting for them to come to you. And God, you are eager that no one would perish, but that all would find life. And so God, be with us today as we go out on the path of waiting. Give us endurance, and God, may we faithfully anticipate you moving here at Crosspoint, in our families, in our marriages, in our relationship with our kids, our coworkers, and our vocations. May we wait with eager expectation, Jesus. And we pray this all in your mighty name. Amen and amen.